The Paranormal Podcast is brought to you by Club W. Club W is offering our audience members who are 21 and over and who live in the U.S. a $20 credit on their first order of 3 bottles of wine as a new member of Club W. So go to clubw.com/Jim and get $20 off your first order when you become a new member. Thanks, Club W.
This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harrell.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I am Jim Harrell. So glad to be with you once again. And we have a special show today because we have a world-famous medium with us. I'm talking about Kim Russo. And she's just recently come out with a new book called The Happy Medium that talks about her life and her guidance for how to deal with the spirit world. You probably know her as the star of many television programs, including the Lifetime Movie Network series The Haunting of. She does readings, leads courses, and speaks at hundreds of engagements across the country, attended by thousands of people of all ages, religions, and beliefs. In 2015, she was named Best Psychic on Long Island by the Best of Long Island Press. She lives in East Meadow, New York. She is, I guess, the medium to the stars, but we're pleased to have her today. Kim, welcome to the program.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
So when I talk to psychics, when I talk to mediums, one of the first things I ask, it always fascinates me because I think I'm about as psychic as a wooden plank, is how did you get into this? As I understand it, this all started for you at a very early age.
Right. It started at an early age, seeing apparitions in my bedroom, typically at nighttime, not really during the day. These apparitions were the same group of people that stood at the foot of my bed every night. And they just stared me to sleep every night, not having any messages. They were not verbal in any way. Years later, as I went through my teenage years and all that, it sort of started to taper off, which I was very thankful for. Mm-hmm. And then I never really thought much about it again. I just thought, as an adult, I was thinking maybe I had a very vivid imagination, but I also did know what I saw. It was as real as I was looking at any physical object. Looking back in my late 20s, these voices and these apparitions started coming back with a voice. So they gave me time to raise my family, meet my husband, and live a normal life in between from when I was a child to the late 20s. And then after I had my third child, it was as if they reminded me and said, okay, we're back, and now this is your mission. You need to be our voice. But I didn't know that right away. I had to find out what their plight was, and that took a while.
Why do you think you were chosen for this?
Well, I believe, and again, in all of the readings that I've done over the years and my stories in the book about how my husband's own spirit guide started talking to me while I was practicing on my husband doing past life regression and hypnotism. I started talking directly to his soul and just testing it over and over and over because I am a total skeptic by nature. And his spirit guide started telling me about what the soul does before it's born and or before it comes to this universe, because there's a lot, the planet Earth, I should say, there's a lot of different universes that our souls may have lived in, but I only focus here because this is all I know. Mm-hmm. And this spirit guide explained to me that we choose our mission, just like, you know, you can choose your occupation or your life mission. You choose it before you're born with a group of a panel of elders, which are the higher spiritual guides. And basically for your soul's satisfaction or karma or whatever you want to say, it really serves. That's why I say every soul knows why they're here. They just need to go in and access, unlock it, and remember why they're here. So I believe I agreed to this before I was born.
Do you feel that our souls reincarnate, that we're here multiple times?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And again, based on a lot of my experiments, since I have a very scientific mind as well, I access through my husband's being, his conscious mind is put aside under, and he's a somnambulist. So he goes very deep, and he doesn't remember anything. And now, you can't really prove that what he was coming up with is fact. But what I can prove is so many children remember their past lives when early on when they come here, and so much so that a lot of those lives can be documented down to the names, how the person passed on, the family members that they lived with, and some of those people are still living and roaming the earth to this day. I also think that common sense will tell you that to just have one go around doesn't sound even normal or sufficient for the soul. If the soul is an ongoing journey, mm-hmm. just doesn't make sense. So I like to think of things in a common sense kind of way as well. And I absolutely believe in past lives. Absolutely.
Now, in the book, you talk about past life regression. Now, I've always been fascinated by reincarnation. And back to your point about the little kids who can remember things that they shouldn't be able to remember, I think of that one case of the child who could remember being an aviator in World War II. And there are many, many cases across many, many cultures. Those fascinate me. But when I hear the word or the phrase past life regression, which you mentioned in the book here, I'm a little skeptical because it almost seems like to me, and maybe this is just a stereotype, everybody who comes says that they've gotten something from a past life regression, they were either a prince or a royal suitor or something like that. Nobody seems to be a ditch digger. Am I being a little unfair with that?
Well, it's funny. It depends where you get your sources from, because I have conducted many past life regressions, and there are so many lives that people come up with that are very mundane and very basic. I don't get a lot of, I know what you're saying though. Some people say they were Betsy Ross in a past life. I get
right.
it.
Right.
You know, I've heard that. Some people can become very dramatic about it. Now, that's not to say I don't have an open mind to say that perhaps somebody was Betsy Ross in another life. I'm sure her soul is going to come, back here again. But I just feel as if it depends who's really relaying this information and how they know it. I always like to tell people that it's great to take information from a psychic medium about your past life, but the best source of information can only come from your own soul. And many people, when they go under hypnosis, they do feel that they're making all the information up, except if they go very, very deep, like my husband, and they don't recall any information. And just knowing the terms that he would speak with, he has no knowledge of spiritual terms that he spoke of. And that's also how I know it's real. In his life as my husband, he's just an average working man, loves his family. He supports my mission, but he's not the one reading any of the spiritual books. I was. But I really just have to look at where the source is coming from. That's with the same mm-hmm. as everything else.
Sure. Now, many of us, when we think about the other side, we're afraid. You know, the idea that we're getting messages from our loved ones who are passed. Some people are really into it, and other people are afraid. Should we be afraid?
No, I was afraid for a very long time, and that's a huge part of my book, talking about the struggle that I had. And the only fear that was ever imposed was through my religion, the Catholic Church. Okay, so that's, I went to Catholic school when I was a child, and society teaches you that anything you cannot see, touch, or feel with your five senses does not exist.
Right.
This is where my common sense kicks in again. Can you see, the electricity in the air? Can you see the cell phone signals? Can you see the radio waves? Can you see Google? Can you see the internet? No, but we use it. We know it's real. And we actually need it in our society now. So it's just like anything else, that my mission is to show that this type of energy is real, even though you cannot see it with the five senses. And I talk about how to improve on using your other senses. And that's why psychics and mediums are able to do what they do. They don't do it with their five senses that the world teaches you to do everything with. That's just one part of how we were born in the physical world. But that's not who we are at all. That's just the, I call it the cage, the physical body. We're trapped in the cage. And through the cage, those are our, that's our navigation system, the five senses, only in the 3D world, in the solid world. When you leave the solid world, you have all these other types of senses, and you can actually access those senses while still being in the body. And that's why there's nothing to be frightened of. A lot of what I do, if not all of what I do, is regarding energy. And science has proven energy cannot be destroyed. It can only change forms. Now, I'm not saying that there are entities out there that are not to be, you know, touched with. Would you, you know, go into a prison and start befriending all the criminals?
Right.
I mean, I would hope not. Maybe give them love from a distance and pray that their soul finds their way. But it's like anything else. It depends what are you going to deal with? What type of energies are you comfortable with?
Now, it's interesting you mentioned that. I was going to ask you about that. You have a section in here, and I love this, frequently haunted places to avoid until you are an expert. Because I think with all the TV shows, and they've done a lot, they've brought a lot of interest in the area. They've brought some knowledge to the area. But yeah, I know you've been on a number of them, Psychic Kids, Paranormal State, and now you're the host of The Haunting Of. But I also worry sometimes people see these and they kind of look at, quote, ghost hunting as like bowling. You know, it's like, let's get matching shirts and go bowling instead of going bowling. Let's go ghost hunting. That I think sometimes people can maybe go in places and stir things up, maybe in personal homes. Is that a fair concern on my part?
Yeah, it is. It really is, because people do, like you said, they watch these TV shows and they think, well, these are just a bunch of regular guys walking into this place with all of this equipment, looking to measure energy. So to me, that's no different than using a Ouija board, which is definitely something that will attract the lower level entities. It's not a game. People like to, and especially teenagers and young kids, they get together like, well, you know, what could we do that can scare us or make us excited? And that's the first thing they do, is either they do a Ouija board or they try to have their own little seance. And it's something not to be touched, and I always warn against it. And I warn against it in my book. There are some evil forces that are roaming the earth that's exactly the opening they're looking for. And you just can't give them those types of opening. Keep them where they are. It's like, don't wake up the sleeping giant sometimes.
I'm always fascinated speaking to psychic mediums. I love to ask them this. What do you experience when you go into a location that might be, quote, haunted? I mean, is it something you feel? Is it something you sense? Is it telepathic, clairaudient, clairsentient? What do you experience as Kim Russo?
Well, I try not to go in there as Kim Russo, because Kim Russo uses all her five senses. What I do is I go in there and I use all my senses, but particularly the first barometer is how it makes me feel when I walk in a space. And I think if everyone pays attention to how they feel wherever they go, there's triggers. So there's some energy, some spaces can make you feel lightheaded, or some spaces can make you feel anxious. Again, people think it's just their own body feeling that way for no reason. And I always say, pay attention to everything your body is telling you. Do you feel safe? Do you feel threatened? And sometimes it's nothing tangible. You don't know why you feel threatened, and you can't really explain why you feel calm either. So that's the first thing I pay attention to, is how am I feeling in this space? The next thing I start to do is I start listening. I listen for energy that speaks to me. And a lot of the times these trapped entities, they don't really come out right away. They want to see what my goal is in being there. So they feel threatened as well. So sometimes, and you don't really get to see everything that's filmed in a 12-hour day,
sure,
in a one-hour episode. I know it sort of looks like I get right to the task, and I do try, but sometimes it can take quite a few hours to have the entity reveal itself to me, because it'll typically hide in the basements or the higher parts of the home or the building in the attics, basically just out of the way of any type of foot traffic. So I have to go where it is. I have to, it's like a game of hide and go seek, like come out wherever you are. I know you're here. I'm here to listen to you, and perhaps I can help you. So I go in there with a loving approach, like a mother would to a child. I always try to approach it in a nurturing kind of way and in a non-threatening kind of a way. And sometimes I do put my neck on the line. A lot of the times I do, because I really don't know how evil or how dark this force can be. So I am sort of like a fireman going into a fire, you know, on some occasions. But I think it's just like people, that they were people that lived on the earth at one time. And I have a very good way of talking with people, and I am a good listener. And so basically it's the same with the spirit world. I need to gain their trust before anything can happen. And sometimes that doesn't happen right away. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Here's a question for you. You know, I think of psychic abilities, and I made a little joke before that I'm about as psychic as a wooden board. But is it a case where they're kind of the LeBron Jameses of the psychic world, like a Kim Russo or Chip Coffey or whomever, that have a natural ability and they've made the most of it, whereas you might have your normal person? You know, I could stand at my basketball hoop all day long shooting baskets. I'm never going to be LeBron James. I might get better. I might be able to make more free throws, but I'm never going to be LeBron James. So my question is, are there some people that are just naturally psychic superstars? And is there any hope for those of us who are riding the bench of the psychic world?
Well, that's a great question. And I often wondered that myself throughout the years. And the conclusion I've come to, and a lot of times my own spirit guides will give me this information, why was I picked to do this, and why am I very fluent in the language of spirit? I do believe, after learning everything I've learned, everyone has abilities that they came here with. The true nature of who we really are can ascend up and outward of our physical bodies. We can all do that. I tell you how to do that in the book. I do feel, however, that there are some people, like any other talent or ability, yes, like singing, some have singing talent more than others. I can sing in the shower and maybe sound halfway decent, but I can never be Barbara Streisand, and I write that in my book. It's the truth of the matter is, yes, there are some heightened abilities and talents over others. And they do run in families, such as musical abilities. Some people are just phenomenal in math, and it runs in their family, that they can compute things really quickly, sports-related, like you said, athletics. Yes, I do believe that is. Now, is that a DNA thing, or is that a soul group thing, meaning I wrote about soul groups in my book. Did everybody decide we're all going to be born into the same family, but we all are going to have musical ability? Perhaps that's the case. I don't know that it's a DNA thing. I think I believe it's more of a soul thing. But there are a lot of people in my family that are able to do what I do. And so I don't feel that's a coincidence by no means. I feel perhaps we all made a soul commitment to come into this one family. And that's why, you know, we can do it better than others. That's why I say everyone came here to use their gifts and their talents. And mine are no different. Well, they may be different, but they're no better than anybody else's. I can never go into an operating room and cut somebody's stomach open. You will never be able to see me doing that. And I admire those who can. So it's just a talent. I encourage everyone, find your gift and share it with the world. That's why we're here. But that's a good question.
Well, it's a fascinating conversation we are having with Kim Russo, The Happy Medium, and her new book is The Happy Medium, Life Lessons from the Other Side. And we'll be back with more right after this message on The Paranormal Podcast. The Paranormal Podcast is brought to you by Club W. Club W is targeting a new generation of wine drinkers who want to do away with the pretense and simply enjoy reasonably priced great wine. Now, I don't know your history with wine, but mine started when I was in my 20s and I worked at a classical music radio station. I remember going to these parties and seeing important people sloshing wine around in their glasses and kind of talking about how it had nice legs. And at that point, I kind of felt wine was beyond me. I couldn't figure it out. It was for people who were maybe smarter than me, more well-cultured than me, maybe people with a lot of money. So I kind of wrote wine off. But boy, was I wrong, because there is a new way to experience, learn about, and enjoy wine that is very approachable. Not at all intimidating and extremely affordable. And I'm talking about Club W, because Club W custom tailors wine to the tastes of the individual consumers and delivers 3 bottles of wine each month to your doorstep for $39 plus a flat $6 shipping rate. You go to Club W and you take the 20-second palate profile quiz to get instant wine recommendations based on your unique profile. Now, the price point for most wines is only $20. So by signing up with Club W, you're getting your first bottle for free. So Club W is offering our audience members who are 21 and over and who live in the United States a $20 credit on their first order of 3 bottles of wine as a new member of Club W. Now, I've been enjoying a bottle of something called Wordsmith Red Blend. And it's kind of cool because it even has a label where you can fill out a crossword puzzle. And I love they have kind of a ironic sense of humor with some of the names of some of the wines through Club W, but they're still great. And it's so nice because, again, you go to their website, many times you can read about the wine, you can watch a video about the wine, you even get a little card that comes with the wine, explains what it is, where it comes from, what it pairs with. It's just such an easy way to learn about wine. And then when your friends come over and you offer them some wine, you can seem like that person. But don't be pretentious. We don't want that. But you can say, hey, this goes great with beef or pork, or this is better served chilled, or maybe this is better at room temperature. You become the person with the knowledge all through Club W. So check it out. I know that you'll really like it. Go over to clubw.com/Jim. That's clubw.com/Jim. And get that $20 credit on your first order. Thanks to Club W for supporting the Paranormal Podcast. Get your free bottle of wine at clubw.com/Jim. And please drink responsibly. We're back on the Paranormal Podcast. Our guest today is Kim Russo. She is the Happy Medium. She's also the star of The Haunting of on Lifetime Movie Network, and her new book is named The Happy Medium, and we're so glad to have her with us. Now, Kim, I know on your TV program, you have worked with many celebrities. I think you've done work with Loretta Lynn, Kesha, Tom Green, Meatloaf, the list goes on. When it comes to these kind of things, are they any different than us, or are they just like everybody else?
I find that a lot of celebrities and people in the public eye, they're a little bit resistant to information that I come up with. So I think it's a little bit more difficult to work with these types of people because they have a lot at stake in the public eye. They are very used to keeping a certain image for the world. So for me to hit on a very, very sensitive subject about their own personal life, which I very often do in every episode, I can actually see the moment in their mind where they're deciding if they should go with this or if they should resist it. Mm-hmm. I can actually see where they're thinking, how does she know this? This woman is for real. And do I go with it and have the most amazing day? Or do I resist it and shut it down because I have a lot of deep, dark secrets. You know, it's one of the two. Most of the celebrities like to engage with me because they notice it's an opportunity they may never get again.
Right.
But I have had celebrities that are very guarded in that they will stop in between scenes and say, I don't want this revealed. I don't want that spoken about on camera. I respect that. I always respect that. But the one thing I want to make sure is that no matter if they want it aired or not, it needs to be a very real experience for them and for me. I cannot go in and not cover all the bases. So I want to, you know, tell them it goes no further if you don't want it to. And in the end, I want to say they have such a nice healing experience that they very often offer to share everything. But it's not as easy as my other TV show, Psychic Intervention, where I was helping regular people that were non-celebrities, and they really, really wanted the help without any type of inhibitions. They weren't worried, you know, what the world was thinking. They just truly wanted the help. And that made my job so much easier because the egos weren't really there. It's like, whatever you tell me, Kim, I appreciate it. I just want things to get better in my life. So for me, that's where the true work happens, when the hearts are really open and people are really seeking me for the right reasons. I'm not going to lie, there were some celebrities, I will say 90% of the celebrities were so open and honest. I was very, very fortunate. There were a few I did need to break. I had to break them, and I did. Well, there was one that I didn't break, but that's okay. He broke himself.
Now, one thing I will say, I've got to believe that in some ways it's a little more challenging to read a celebrity, and I'll tell you why. I mean, there's so much these days on the internet about celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. X, let's say. So you're going to read Mr. X, but Mr. X might have a huge wall of skepticism coming up because he'll say, well, everything down to my blood type is on the internet. How can this person get through that and maybe affirm something that is not common knowledge? Because, again, you know, you could look up and see if a celebrity had their tonsils taken out when they were seven. So
I know.
Must make it much tougher to kind of give them affirmation and confirmation that you're really tying into something that is real.
You are 100% right, and that was something that I struggled with. I didn't want, even if I were getting everything authentically, which of course I do, I always trust spirit, if that piece of information was on the internet, there was actually nothing I can do to change that. However, it's not so much what I would tell them that might appear on the internet, but it definitely were the things that I told them that nobody ever would know. For example, the famous ice skater Johnny Weir.
Yes.
His grandfather came through and spoke to me and told me that they called him Puff Puff, Grandpa Puff Puff, because he smoked a lot. And that's actually, you know, I nearly almost saw him faint. So there are so many intricate details of the family that you could never find on the internet. Little jokes amongst them, you know, nicknames, things that their families are not on the internet. They're on the internet, but their grandparents and their aunts and their uncles are not on the internet, and just family information. So in every episode, I would always say to my spirit guides or whoever's coming through, please allow them to give information that would really capture the moment and let them know that I am really talking to another dimension and not Google information. And if anybody watches the show, The Haunting of, you will see that in the first 10 minutes of the show. I start the personal readings right in the beginning. As a matter of fact, Nadine Velasquez was one of the, you know, she's never revealed that she was molested, and it wound up that that's what came through in her reading, and that was never revealed anywhere, and she was struggling, should I reveal this to help other women or other people that were molested, or should I keep this to myself? And she decided that that was information that could help the world, and it did. It helped so many people come out into the world and confront their abusers because of that one TV show. And there are so many other examples, not just molestation, but the deep, dark secrets that never were revealed come out. So basically, everybody has to just use their judgment, and the information speaks for itself.
Do you believe that the spirit world is trying to get in touch with all of us? I mean, are there many signals and messages that we miss?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, there's one in my book, and it had to do with my husband's grandfather trying to reach him one day, and it was through his car radio. And my husband did not understand that. It didn't connect to him. He just thought, oh, something's wrong with my radio. But then you bring that information to someone like me who knows better and is looking at things with different eyes, and I'm like, silly, there's nothing wrong with your radio. That was your grandpa trying to play that song on the radio for you when he, you know, changed the channel a couple of times, and it kept going back to that one song that it was his grandfather's favorite song. Spirits can totally manipulate energy because they are made up of pure energy, and they can manipulate other sources of energy. And we're energy. That's how a medium is able to connect with energy. You know, we connect with each other's energy every day by giving love and receiving love. But hate is energy too. You know, all types of emotions are energy, but it's just a different form of energy.
What if someone out there has had a loved one who's passed, and it's been a period of time, a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it might be, and they believe that there is a spirit world, but they have not, at least in their mind, received a message? What would you say to that person?
You know, people say that to me all the time. And I'll in that moment, I may even give them a quick message or a reading. And I may even said, oh, you know, you're finding coins in the most unusual places. In particular, I may mention a certain kind of a coin, whether it be a diamond, nickel, a penny. That's just the most basic sign. And they look at me like, yes, it's so funny you say that. I'm starting a collection of these coins that I'm finding, you know, whatever it be, old dimes, old nickels. And I will just say to them, well, your loved one is coming through. That's a sign from, you know, whomever. And they may say to me, and I've had this happen many times, like, well, I never thought that could be a sign from my loved one. But in fact, in that moment, their loved one is telling me I'm sending them the coins. And then when I bring that to their attention, it's never really foreign to them. I know that they've been experiencing it, but they're never really connecting it. So that's the point. We look at everything in such an analytical way. And that's the left side of the brain that most of us use. And that's good when you're in the world and you want to have, you know, cognitive problems, problem solving and all of that. But it's not good when you're trying to reach other dimensions. You have to shift over to the right side of the brain. And that's the side of the brain that has the faith and that has the eyes that can look beyond this world and say, there is something greater than what we are that is in control of this universe. And in my book, I teach you to shift from the left side of the brain to the right side of the brain, and then that's when you will start to notice the signs. That's when not everything will be so concrete, black and white, and analytical, critical thinking. And I teach my students the best way to do this work is to feel the information and not think the information. You have to take any thinking out of the equation, because you will never contact any energy through a thought, through a rational thought, analytical thought. Because when we try to assess a situation, Jim, mm-hmm. I may ask your opinion on something, and you may have a brother, and I may say to you, both of you, how was your childhood? And you may have one version, and your brother will have a completely different version. But it's through the lens of your perception that you're assessing the situation. And everyone will assess it based on their weaknesses, their strengths, their fears. So that's why you can't rationalize information, because it'll come through the thinker and their perception. It has to be pure and coming from another place, like I said, which is the right side of the brain.
Now, one thing I think is particularly challenging with this, and certainly I'm sure you would suggest that people pick up the book to learn more about all of this and follow up. But one of the most difficult things, I think, when somebody has a legitimate interest in this, but they have a little bit of skepticism, is finding a medium that you can trust, because obviously, and you even address it, and I applaud you for this right up front in your book, that psychics don't necessarily have a good reputation. How do you know that you're working with someone who is legit and is not, you know, just trying to collect a fee?
Well, I will always tell people to get a recommendation from a friend, word of mouth. And it's one of the reasons why I have joined the Forever Family Foundation and the Winbridge Institute. These two organizations have tested my abilities over long periods of time, triple, quadruple blind test, totally tested every aspect of my mediumship. And I am not the only one in these organizations. There are other very credible mediums whose abilities have been tested. And I will, not everybody is certified at these organizations, but if you can't get a word of mouth or a referral from a friend, check out one of the organizations that have validated and accredited these mediums. But also, if you go to a medium, within 5 to 10 minutes, if they're telling you generalities, get up and walk out. If they're telling you something that can apply to anyone, walk out. You know, use your judgment as a human being. People are not stupid, and I know you cannot fool the public. The public is very sharp, very savvy people. And it's sad that people say that mediums prey on the grieving people. The truth of the matter is the information speaks for itself. And whether you're in a medium's office and you're grieving or you're not grieving and you're just curious, get up and walk out if within 5 to 10 minutes they're not giving you what resonates with your soul. Because like I said, information that you know no one would ever be able to know should be given. It should be given. But when the medium starts saying like things that totally could apply to, like, just say human nature, mm-hmm. because they can read your body language, or they can read the way, sometimes if people will say, you know, with a shaky voice, "Oh, I'm so afraid I'm going to lose my job." Well, hello, you just told me everything right there.
Right.
So I urge people, do not say, you know, don't show your hand to a medium. And when people try to do that to me, I say, listen, you need to just sit there and let me do the work. People who have seen me in my live shows can attest to that. I don't encourage anybody to tell me anything. I want the spirit world to do the job. Because I'm so confident that they will, and they do. So every time people say they had such a great reading, if it's a friend of mine, I'll say, well, do you mind, you know, I can tell you if it was a great reading. I will know within 5 minutes if I can listen to it. And I can tell how a medium could lead people. My ear is trained for that, for the nonsense. And I'll be the first one to call nonsense on it. I don't appreciate that, because that does make us look bad. The true mediums, it makes us look bad, and I don't encourage it at all. But I know a true medium when I see one, and I will go to the ends of the earth to promote that medium if they're good, because I know I cannot be the only voice for spirit, and I know I'm not, obviously. But there are too many voices out there that are not authentic, or they think they know what the spirit world's saying, but they really don't. And they can cause a lot of damage in families that way. And I've seen it happen.
You have to be careful.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
You have so many things going on. You have the book, The Happy Medium. You have the TV shows. You have live appearances. I think you have a cruise coming up. You have a website. How can everybody connect to everything you do, including the book and everything else?
Well, the first thing I would say is join my mailing list, and that's listed on my website. I do monthly newsletters to let everybody know what I'm doing, what I am up to, even sometimes inside information. I do put almost everything on my Facebook page, so, and I'm very interactive on social media, Twitter, and psychic medium Kim Russo, which is my Facebook, and Instagram. So I'm interactive with my fans on social media, and my mailing list does go out to quite a few thousand people. So that'll be great. If they want to know more about me, they can go on my website. And it's kimthehappymedium.com.
Well, Kim, it's been a great discussion. I appreciate your time. I know you're super busy. The new book is The Happy Medium, Life Lessons from the Other Side by the Happy Medium herself, Kim Russo. Kim, thank you for your time today.
Wow. Thank you for having me. Great questions. I'll talk to you soon.
Very good. And thank you for tuning in to the Paranormal Podcast. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye. Now for the legal disclaimer. We do not accept money from publishers or content producers in exchange for interviews. However, as with most media outlets, in the majority of cases, we do receive complimentary copies of books and DVDs that we feature on our podcasts. Your purchases of books, DVDs, and other items via our Amazon.com links benefit Jim Harold and JimHarold.com and help us continue our programming. The sponsor messages you hear on the programs are paid endorsements, although we really do like them. For the full disclaimer, go to JimHarold.com, and thanks for listening.